Take your Bible, please. Turn to the book of Matthew, chapter 3. The book of Matthew, chapter number 3. Matthew, chapter 3, we'll begin our reading in verse number 13. Again, I remind you, typically have three series going on at once, an Old Testament book, New Testament book, and a topical series. We come to our New Testament book again tonight, the book of Matthew, chapter 3. We've come to chapter 3, verse number 13. Matthew 3, 13. The Bible says, "Then cometh Jesus from Galilee to Jordan unto John to be baptized of him. But John forbade him, saying, I have need to be baptized of thee, and comest thou to me? And Jesus answering said unto him, Suffer it to be so, for thus it becometh us to fulfill all righteousness. Then he suffered him. And Jesus, when he was baptized, went up straightway out of the water. And lo, the heavens were open unto him, and he saw the Spirit of God descending like a dove and lighting upon him. And lo, a voice from heaven saying, This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased." The Bible says in verse number 13, that Jesus came to be baptized of John. And I'm preaching to you tonight on the baptism of Jesus. The baptism of Jesus. By the way, Brother Gary's on vacation. I thought about telling you that we had to get rid of him last week. No, I'm kidding with you. He and I kid each other and all these kind of things, but he may be listening live. If he is, that'd be good. Yes. Any of y'all are hoping he's listening live? Would you raise your hand? You're hoping he's listening, yes. Any of y'all could care less? Would you raise your hand, yes? We have a careless church about a lot of things, you know. The baptism of Jesus. This is found also in the book of Mark chapter 1, Luke chapter 3, and John chapter number 1. Let's pray together. Father, we love you today. Thank you for your goodness to us. Help us in this Bible study tonight to be filled with your power and spirit. And Lord, I pray that you forgive my sins. Help me to be a clean vessel for you to flow through. And I ask tonight that you'll teach us through your word. We understand that you have spoken and you've already said what you meant and meant what you said. And I pray that you help us not to add to or take away from your word, but simply just say what you've already said. Speak to us. I need to hear from you. Guide our thoughts, I pray, in Jesus' name. Amen. As we come to this portion of Scripture, we see John the Baptist has recently said that there was one coming after him who he was not worthy to stoop down and unloose his shoes. Now, John the Baptist has been preaching up a storm when the Word of God tells us that then cometh Jesus from Galilee to Jordan unto John to be baptized of him. Now, it's been said that this would have been a journey somewhere around 70 to 90 miles or so. I'm talking about a journey that the Lord took, 70 to 90 miles approximately, that he walked just to be baptized. Now, folks, this is an amazing scene as we see Jesus Christ, the Creator, requesting his creature to baptize him. Now, we can just imagine the line of people coming to be baptized by John when John looks up and sees the blessed Son of God coming to him to be baptized. No wonder John didn't want to baptize him, but rather told him that he needed to be baptized by him. However, the Lord told him to go ahead and baptize him to fulfill all righteousness. And in all of this, we see the humility of the Lord Jesus and his approval of right here upon the ministry of John the Baptist. Now, after the Lord Jesus was baptized, by the way, the word baptized here is a transliteration of the word baptizo, which means to dip, plunge, immerge, or submerge. The only Bible mode of baptism is to be dipped, plunged, immersed, or submerged. The reason I say that, now, this message is not to prove that, but in the means of introduction here, that's why sprinkling is not a Bible baptism. Because baptism means to dip, plunge, immerse, or submerge. It is a picture of the death, the burial, and the resurrection of Christ. Whenever we baptize, the water crosses our body. That's a picture of the cross where Jesus died. Whenever we take them below the water, that's a picture of the burial of Christ. And when we bring them back up out of the water, that's a picture of the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Now, when's the last time you went to a funeral and they took the casket, or the corpse, and just sprinkled dirt on top of it?
Doesn't happen that way. It's placed into the ground. And I'm telling you, baptized means to be dipped, plunged, immersed, or submerged. Now, with that being the case, we see that when Jesus was baptized, the Bible says the heavens opened unto him, and the Spirit of God came down on him in the form of a dove. Then his heavenly Father spoke, saying, "This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased." Wouldn't you have loved to have been there? Honestly, to hear the audible voice of the heavenly Father, "This is my beloved Son, in whom I'm well pleased." Now, as we consider the baptism of Jesus in these verses, there are some key thoughts that come out about the lovely Lord Jesus that comes out for our attention. I see three of them. Now, you understand there's no way to fully exhaust the Word of God. But this is how the Lord spoke to me in this passage. There's three things about the Lord Jesus Christ I see when I was studying this passage in my study. Number one, we notice the baptism of Jesus. First of all, we see his reason. Now, the logical question that comes to our mind when we consider the baptism of Jesus is, why did he get baptized? I mean, after all, baptism was the first step after their confessing their sin to John, if you understand. I'm talking about to the Father. It was the baptism of repentance. But Jesus didn't need to repent. Amen. He was perfect. So the logical question is this: why did he get baptized? What was his reason? Well, you know, there have been many answers given to that question. As a matter of fact, some say he was setting an example for believers to follow. Some say he was showing his approval for baptism. Some say he was identifying with sinful men. And some say that he was showing his coming death. Now listen to me. Let me help you with something in Scripture here. All four of those are true when they stand by themselves. Are you with me? In other words, yes, he did set an example for the believers. Yes, he did approve baptism. Yes, he did identify with sinful men. Yes, he did show his death. But that's not what the Scripture says about his baptism. Do you understand the reason for his baptism? He gave it himself. Now notice what he's saying. He said right here, "Suffer it to be so now, for thus it becometh us to fulfill all righteousness." What is the reason why Jesus got baptized? Jesus gave it out of his own lips. He said the reason is to fulfill all righteousness. Now when you study that phrase, here's what he was saying. He was saying, "I'm getting baptized because I want to finish all the requirements that my heavenly Father's pleased with." He wanted to accomplish all of the will of his Father. He wanted to perform every part of the righteous law that his Father commissioned. The bottom line is the reason Jesus was getting baptized is because it was the will of his heavenly Father. Now listen to me here. We can learn a great lesson right here. Even though Jesus, get this folks, he did not have to get baptized. I'm talking about the baptism of repentance. I'm saying he wasn't getting baptized because he was a sinner. Even though we know baptism has nothing to do with our salvation, it's the first step of obedience after salvation, yet he didn't have salvation, he was salvation. Which means he did not have to follow the Lord in believers' baptism. He was never lost. But the Bible says, Jesus said this when John saw him, and John said, "No, no, I need to be baptized by you." Jesus said, "Suffer it to be so now, for thus we can fulfill all righteousness." He's saying, this is what my Father wants me to do. And since he wants me to do it, it is righteous. And if he tells me to do it, I'm going to fulfill all righteousness. Are you getting this? There's a major thought here. You know what it is? This is the way we are to live our lives. What I mean by that is there may be times that the Lord tells us to do something that makes no sense to other people. It made no sense to John. No sense at all. Only logically, John knew he needed to be baptized by Jesus, the baptism of the Holy Spirit. That's what made sense to John. And Jesus said, don't worry about it. Go ahead and do it, because this is part of the all righteousness of my Father. Here's what I'm saying. The way we are to live, Jesus has set the example here. If God wants us to do it, if the world does or does not understand, we are simply to trust and obey. This is what's happening here. The way to live this God-given life is to find out what our God desires for us to do and then do it with all of our hearts. We should live our lives in obedience to the command of our Heavenly Father. The Bible says in Deuteronomy 27:10, thou shalt therefore obey the voice of the Lord thy God and do His commandments and His statutes which I command thee this day. Acts 5:29, then Peter and the other apostles answered and said, we ought to obey God rather than men. John 2:5, His mother saith unto the servants, whatsoever He saith unto you, do it. This is the example the Lord was setting here. He was setting the example of His reason for His baptism was because it pleased His Heavenly Father. His Father wanted Him to do it. So even though it made no sense to John and maybe even others, He did it because it fulfilled all righteousness. There's His reason. The second thing we notice, if you'll hold your place here, turn to the book of John chapter 1. We're looking at the baptism of Jesus. Number one, His reason was to fulfill all righteousness. In other words, this is what pleases my Father. My Father, this is His will. This is part of His righteousness. And if this is part of what He wants, I'm going to do it. What a way to live life. Secondly, we notice His record. Not only His reason, but number two, His record. Look at John chapter 1, verse 29. John chapter 1, verse 29. Now, I remind you again that when I'm preaching through the book of Matthew, when I get to a portion of Scripture that other gospel writers deal with, I'm giving you all accounts. In other words, if John shows something that Matthew doesn't, then in this one message, God willing and helping me, I'm going to show you different angles. So I get this point here, his record, not from Matthew, but from John. And we see this, it's the same account of his baptism. John 1:29, the next day John seeth Jesus coming unto him and saith, behold the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world. This is he of whom I said after me, cometh a man which is preferred before me, for he was before me. And I knew him not, but that he should be made manifest to Israel. Therefore am I come baptizing with water. And John bare, here it is, record, saying, I saw the Spirit descending from heaven like a dove. When did that happen? His baptism. So this is dealing with his baptism. He's saying, I bear record. John said, I bear record to something. He's saying, I saw the Spirit descending on him from heaven, and it abode upon him. Now notice what he said in verse 33, and I knew him not, but he that sent me to baptize with water, the same said unto me, upon whom thou shalt see the Spirit descending and remaining on him, the same is he which baptized you with the Holy Ghost. And John said, and I saw, and bear here it is record, that this is the Son of God. That is a powerful portion of Scripture. John the Baptist, someday I'm going to see him face to face. What a hero of the Scriptures. And I'm telling you right here, the second thing we notice about the baptism of Jesus is his record is given for us here. Notice closely how the Word of God speaks about the Holy Spirit descending upon him like a dove. The significance of this is found in this account in John here. Notice in these verses how John said he knew the Lord was coming, but he didn't know who he was. He said that himself. However, he went on to say how God had told him that the one who is him, the one who is he, whatever the correct English is there, I'm telling you, he's saying the one that you see, the Spirit coming out of heaven, in the form of a dove, and you see him landing on him, and you see him staying on him. The same is my son. Now, this being the case, John continued to say that he saw and he bare record that this is the Son of God. What John saw is given us in the other Gospels that tell us when the Lord came up from being baptized, the heavens opened and the Holy Ghost descending like a dove upon the Lord Jesus Christ. Again, flip back to the book of Matthew with me just a moment. Look at Matthew chapter 1. Matthew chapter 3, excuse me, and verse number 16, the Bible says, and Jesus, when he was baptized, went up straightway out of the water, and lo, the heavens were opened unto him. And he saw the Spirit of God descending like a dove and lighting upon him. This is what John said. John said, I didn't know who he was. I knew he was coming, but I didn't know exactly who it was. But he who sent me told me something. He told me, the one that you see the Spirit descending from heaven and lighting upon him, and the one that you see the Spirit staying upon him, he said, this is the one who baptizes with the Holy Ghost. Can you imagine John? Can't you just imagine John? Whenever John's there and he sees the Lord Jesus Christ and he says, behold the Lamb of God which taketh away the sin of the world. And yet maybe there's a little bit of doubt in his mind. I don't know. And all of a sudden he baptizes Jesus, and then the heavens open. Yes, Jesus sees the blessed Son of God right here, the blessed Spirit of God descending in the form of a dove. But don't forget about John. John's over here. And in the book of John, he said, I saw it. And he said, I saw the dove coming down, and he lit upon this man right here. And he stayed upon him. And I remember what the one who sent me said. And he said, I'm bearing record. There he is. That's the Son of God. I'm telling you, what a record here. Can't you imagine the excitement in John's heart when he saw the heavenly dove start coming down? Can't you just see his heart just go, whoop, man, this is starting to feel pretty good right here. Oh, where's he going? Look, there he is. Oh, there he is. Oh, yes, here he comes. There he is. There's the Son of God. What a record. What a record. John knew that when this happened, that this was the God-man standing in his presence. It was Jesus' inauguration as the Messiah. Then so there would be no question about it. The very next thing that happens, the Father speaks from heaven. This is one of the many proofs of the Holy Trinity. But I'm telling you that there be no mistakes about it. The Father speaks and says, this is my beloved Son. I'm telling you. The Father up above wanted John and others to know the true record about Jesus Christ. The Father wanted them to know that the record is true. This is He. This is my Son. This is my sacrifice. This is the Lamb. This is the one who will die for the sin of the world. This means that because His record shows Him to be the Son of God. Are you listening to me? Because He is really the Son of God, and His record bore record of it. I mean, it was a threefold record. The Spirit descended. The Father spoke. And John sealed it and said, he told me that this is what happened. And I'm telling you, right there is the very Lamb of God. When you see this, you know what that means? That means he really is sinless. 2 Corinthians 5:21, for he hath made him to be sin for us, which knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. Hebrews 4:15, for we have not an high priest which cannot be touched with the feeling of our infirmities, but was in all points tempted like as we are, yet without sin. The Bible says in 1 Peter 2:22, who didn't know sin, neither was guile found in his mouth. 1 John 3:5, and you know that he was manifested to take away our sins, and in him is no sin. Aren't you glad that this is not some figment of our imagination? Aren't you glad that every time you come to church and you hear the Word of God preached and you hear about heaven being real and Jesus being real, aren't you glad the record of God has already sealed it all, that He really is who He said He was? He is sinless. Because of that, He is our God. The Bible says in Isaiah 9:6, "For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulder, and his name shall be called Wonderful, Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace." John 1:1, "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God." John 20:28, "And Thomas answered and said unto him, My Lord and my God." 1 Timothy 3:16, "And without controversy, great is the mystery of godliness. God was manifest in the flesh, justified in the spirit, seen of angels, preached unto the Gentiles, believed on in the world, received up into glory." Titus 2:13, "Looking for that blessed hope and the glorious appearing of the great God and our Savior Jesus Christ." Hebrews 1:8, "But unto the Son he saith, Thy throne, O God, is forever and ever. A scepter of righteousness is the scepter of thy kingdom." I'm telling you, my friends, because of his verified record shown by the descending of the Holy Spirit upon him and the voice of his Father about him, he has made the only way to heaven by the sacrifice of himself. Thank God that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. Thank God he's the Messiah. And we know it's true. Why? Because his record is true. And the Spirit did descend. And the Spirit did stay on him. And John did verify it. And the Father spoke saying, "Let me make no mistakes about it. This is my beloved Son." Somebody ought to say glory right there. I know it's a Wednesday night. I know it's, sometimes I try to do a Bible study. I even introduce this as a Bible study. But I'm telling you one thing, I'm glad tonight that his record is true, he is real, he is alive, he is the Savior, he is God, and because of that, I'm going to heaven some glorious day. The baptism of Jesus, we see his reason was to fulfill all righteousness. He didn't want to fulfill part of it. He wanted to please his Father in everything that his Father had for him. Then we see his record. His record is, John said, "I bear record this day. I knew he was coming, but I didn't know exactly who he was. But he who sent me said, the same that you see the Spirit descending and sitting upon him and staying upon him, that's him." Oh, can't you just see John the Baptist? Well, we don't have many John the Baptists today, if any. I mean, somebody who ate grasshoppers and wild honey and smelled like probably crawled out from under a stump somewhere. But I'm telling you, he had the fire of God in his soul. And he didn't care if Herod or anybody else booed against it. He was going to give it straight. And one thing I know about John the Baptist, he gave it just like it was meant for. And John the Baptist said, "Here's what I was told, here's what I saw, and I'm telling you the fact, that is the Son of God." Right there he is. Then there's a third thing. The third thing is this. Not only his reason and his record, but number three, we notice his reputation, his testimony, if you will. When the Father spoke, what did he say? He said this in Matthew chapter 3, verse 17, "And lo, a voice from heaven saying, This is my beloved Son." Here it is. Here's his reputation. "In whom I am well pleased." Now you say, "Jody, what's the importance of that?" When I was studying, it didn't really hit me that much until I got into this point. And the Lord showed me something. Now there's nothing new under the sun now. I'm not talking about new revelation. It's just how the Lord applied this to my heart. He said, "This is my beloved Son, in whom I'm well pleased." John 8:29 says this, "And he that sent me is with me." This is Jesus speaking. "The Father's not left me alone, for I do always those things that please him." Now, is it important that God the Father is pleased with God the Son? You better believe it. This is a wonderful thought considering this. If you're saved tonight, you are in Christ. Stay with me here. In other words, when an individual who is born, we are born in Adam, under bondage, in sin. But when we are confronted with our sin, repent of our sin, and receive the Lord Jesus as our Savior, we are taken out of Adam, if you will, and placed into the body of Christ. Now, this being the case, we who were at enmity with God have been made well-pleasing to God because we are found in Christ, the one whose Father said, in whom I am well-pleased. Now, I don't know if you're getting what I'm saying here. What I'm trying to tell you here is that Romans 8:1 says, there is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ. Romans 12:5, so we being many are one body in Christ, and everyone members one of another. 1 Corinthians 15:22, for as in Adam all die, even so in Christ shall all be made alive. 2 Corinthians 5:17, therefore if any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things have become new. Ephesians 2:13. But now in Christ Jesus, ye who were sometimes were far off are made nigh by the blood of Christ. Here's what I'm trying to say. His reputation, his testimony, is that his heavenly Father said, this is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. Therefore, if you are in Christ, you have been made well-pleasing in the sight of I'm talking about of the Heavenly Father. Now, there's two types of people in the world. There are those who the Father is angry with. That's sinners. That's in the Word of God. And those He's well-pleased with. Now, I'm not talking about the life you're living. I'm talking about your spiritual condition. I'm talking about whether you're lost or saved here. You understand what I'm saying? If you are lost, God the Father doesn't say, I'm well pleased. God the Father's angry. And he will punish sin. But when you trust Christ who has been punished for sin, and you are placed into Christ, who now God the Father says, even just like he said before his crucifixion, I am well pleased with my Son. Now we who were once at enmity with God, when He looks at us, He no longer sees us who are saved for our sin. He sees His Son instead. And when He sees His Son instead of us, He says, well pleased. I don't know if you're getting what I'm trying to say here. I'm trying to say that if you're in Christ, you are well pleasing to God the Father. He's pleased. Because his Son pleased him. And he's allowed you to be part of him. Isn't that right? The amazing grace of God. We should never get over the fact that we have been made acceptable, Ephesians 1:6, in the sight of God through the Lord Jesus Christ. His account has been imputed to our account. And when the Father looks at His child, He doesn't see their sin, but He sees His Son's righteousness. 2 Corinthians 5:21 again says, for He hath made Him to be sin for us, who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God. What's the next two words? In Him. In Him. A preacher was once talking to a Sunday school and asked the boys if there was anything that God could not see. You can imagine what the preacher was. I wasn't in this classroom, but you know, just reading this and finding this, it gives the impression that he was trying to get across that, you know, be careful what you do, what you think, because God always sees. But he was shocked when this little boy said, oh yes, there's something God can't see. Kind of took the preacher back a minute. He said, well, buddy, what is it that God can't see? And that little boy taught the teacher a lesson that day. He said, he can't see my sins when they're covered under the blood of Jesus Christ. Aren't you glad that when God looks, if you're saved today and he looks at you, he doesn't see your filthy rags. He sees his Son's righteousness. And God the Father steps back and says, this is my beloved Son, in whom I'm well pleased. Aren't you glad the Father's well pleased with you? Not because of what you've done, because of what He did, who you are found in tonight. Amen. That is, I'm telling you, that right there is enough to shake a bush for a while for right there. I'm telling you. Thank God we have the reputation of Jesus Christ if we're saved. Somebody says, well, you don't know what I've done. You don't know how bad I've been. You don't understand my life and all these kind of things. Yes, but I understand this. If you've been saved, you have been made justified. You know what that means? That means God looks at you just as if you were never a sinner, my friend. You know, I've heard it put this way, just as if I've never sinned. But I heard Dr. Sexton put it another way. It's just as if you were never a sinner. Because the account of Jesus has been given to you. And he was never a sinner. You say, Jody, should I serve Christ? What do you think? What do you think? Only God could do that. Only God in his grace can take you out of Adam and turn his enmity into something when we are as filthy, rotten sinners as we are and look at us and say, I'm now well pleased. And so I'm going to open heaven for them. And I'm going to let them look at me. You know, it'd be enough, are you listening, if there wasn't an afterlife. It would be enough just to have the peace we have in this life. Amen or not. I'm talking about all these troubles hits and trials hit. It would be enough to be a Christian to have the help of God to get through those things. But can you imagine? I mean, God could have set it up any way he wanted to. Wouldn't it be enough if he said, hey, I'll let you come to heaven, but you can't see me? No way. We would still be indebted. Amen or not, folks. But you know what he's going to do? The Bible says in the book of Hebrews that he is not ashamed to be called their God. How can that be said about him? How can he not be ashamed of me after I nailed him to the cross? You want me to tell you how he's not ashamed of me? Because he doesn't see me. I'm in his Son. And because I'm in his Son, I am well pleasing to God the Father. Glory. I'm telling you, that right there is enough to make somebody never shout right there. I mean, I'm well pleasing to God the Father. Not because of me. Because of the blessed Son of God. Now you say, Jody, what's that mean? Wouldn't it be logical that now that he has placed us in him and his reputation is, I'm well pleased with his Father, don't you think that we who are saved should strive to live a life that God the Father would say the same thing about the way we live? Somebody says, I leave this church, I feel like trash. I mean, steps on my toes every time I come in. You know what I say? Join the crowd. Because the Holy Spirit of God has steamrolled me before I ever get up in this pulpit. God has been so good to me, the least I can do is say, God, whatever you want, I'll do it. The least I can do is say, Lord, I want to live a life that's well-pleasing in your sight. See, our spiritual standing, what I'm talking about is our position in Christ. We're already well-pleasing. But are you well-pleasing in your daily life? What a stench in God's nostrils to save a hell-bound sinner and we ever try to separate ourselves and do our own thing. How good's God been to you is what I'm asking. I'm praying the Holy Spirit helps you grasp what I'm preaching here tonight. That you, if you're saved, have been made well-pleasing in the sight of God the Father. Now, don't you think his reason ought to be our reason? Amen or not? I'm talking about his reason to fulfill all righteousness. You know what he means there? I'm repeating myself. You know what he's saying? This is what God my Father wants. So I'm going to do it. So if we're in him, we ought to be given an accurate picture of him. So who gives us the right to make our own decisions. His reason ought to be our reason. His reputation ought to be our reputation. This is my beloved Son, in whom I'm well pleased. So as we come to a close tonight, this doesn't mean you're coming to a close. Stay right here with me now. When God the Father looks at you, number one, does He see you in Christ? It's a Wednesday night, but I never want to be a preacher that ever takes for granted that everybody's saved, because I can't see your heart. If you know you're found in Christ, I ask you this question. When He looks at your life, when He looks at your marriage, when He looks at your music and your standards and your television watching and your actions and your witnessing and your church attendance and on we can go, can God the Father look and say, that's my boy, that's my girl, I'm well pleased. I'm well pleased. We already know He said that in salvation. Amen. But is He saying that in your daily life? The baptism of Jesus, we learn some practical thoughts, His reason, His record, His reputation. And may the Lord help us to rejoice in His record that's been put on our account if we're saved. And may we follow in His steps by obeying our God, whatever He tells us to do, and living in such a way that even though He can say it in salvation, He can also say it in service, I'm well pleased with Him, and I'm well pleased with her. Let's bow for a word of prayer. Shall we? Father, we love You tonight. Help us this night to understand the importance of the Word of God. Help us tonight, Lord, to serve You. Help us tonight, Lord, to understand these biblical thoughts. Your heads are bowed, your eyes are closed. As soon as she gets prepared, they're going to begin to play through softly. There's two kinds of people listening to me. I'm talking in two separate phases here. First of all, for salvation. There are those who are saved in Christ and now well-pleasing to God the Father, or those who are not saved, not in Christ, and are at enmity with God. Which one are you? Do you know for sure that heaven's your home? Do you know for sure that you're going to heaven when you die? Do you know for sure that you've been placed into Christ? Do you really know that? Or are you playing games? Somebody says, I don't believe all this stuff. As lovingly as I can say this, if you don't believe it now, there will be a day when you do. Don't wait until it's too late. Trust Christ tonight. If there's one tonight, say, Jody, I'm tired of playing games. I see it tonight that either God is well pleased when He looks at me because He sees Christ, or He's angry with me because He doesn't see Christ. He sees my sin. He sees my unrighteousness and what nailed His Son to the cross. If that's you tonight, why don't you come? Let us take a Bible. Man with a man, lady with a lady, and we'll share with you how you can know the Lord as your Savior. And then I'm switching gears. I told you I'm applying this in two separate ways. I'm switching gears now from salvation to your daily life. Are you with me? If you're saved tonight, I'm speaking to you. If you're saved tonight, let me ask you these questions. Is His reason your reason? You're in Him, so if you're in Him, you ought to fulfill what He would do. Amen. And His reason was this: I'm doing it because it fulfills all righteousness. He's saying this is the right thing to do. This is something that God the Father wants. This is what He's told me to do, and I will do it. It's fulfilling all righteousness. All right, do you have that same reason? Secondly, do you have the same reputation? In your Bible reading, your church attendance, your standards, your music, your marriage, your thought life. I'm going to just apply it to any area of your life. Does God the Father look at you as a child of God and say, this is my beloved son, my beloved daughter? Yes, He says that if you're saved. But can He, by looking at your life, just your life, can He say, like He said about Christ, in whom I am well pleased? Is He well pleased with you? Let me be honest and say, Jody, There's some things I either need to stop doing or there's some things I need to start doing. You understand the difference? God can be dealing not only with things that you're doing that you shouldn't be doing, but He can be dealing with you with things that you're not doing that you should be doing. Giving gospel tracts out. Reading the Bible on a daily basis. Being faithful to church. Having a marriage that's pleasing to Him. You understand what I'm saying? Have you say, Jody, God is speaking to me. And God knows I'm saved, but I want to be well-pleasing. I want to be well-pleasing. Be honest. Raise your hand in the air with mine. You say, God is speaking to me, and I want to be well-pleasing. Yes. May the Lord help you to respond. Let's all stand together, please. Our heads are bowed, eyes are closed. Father, help us to respond, to understand that this is important. We who've been placed in Christ have been made well-pleasing in your sight, but we ought to live a life that backs that up. Help us to be obedient to you now in Jesus' name. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed. As they play through, if God is speaking to your heart, if God is speaking to you, would you leave your place and come? As they play through, come on, come on. Talk to God about it. Leave your place. Talk to the Lord. Say, God, thank you for speaking to my heart. And help me to do this. Help me to be well-pleasing in your sight. Help me to back up what you've done in my life. To be everything you've called me to be. Help me to fulfill all righteousness. Show me what you're pleased with, Father. And then help me to do it. Help me to do it. Help me to do it. Have thine own way, Lord. Have thine own way. Thou art the potter. I am the clay. Mold me and make me after thy will while I am waiting and still. You're playing through softly, folks are praying. If you're standing, I'd like you to look this way. All the teenagers that are going on the bike hike this Saturday, you need to see Brother Bob to get a permission slip. So Brother Bob is here. You want him to come forward or come to the back or come up here? Okay, you come to the forward, come forward here. Brother Bob will be up here, and these permission slips, we need to get these. If we don't have these, then your teen cannot go, okay? This is because this just gives us the permission to take them on the bus and all those kind of things, or whatever the case may be. So that'll be good, all right? Simple message tonight. Hope you got it. The Lord's done a whole lot for us, hasn't He? We're well-pleasing in His sight. Now let's be well-pleasing in our life. Amen. If you brought a child to cadets, please don't forget them. Please go get them. And shake each other's hands as you leave. If you're a visiting person, you've never been here before, take your visitor's card out. We've got a special gift for you. God bless you. I'd like to see the Pollards just a minute if you don't mind. You're in trouble. I'm just kidding with you, all right? I need to see you just a minute. Let's pray together. Father, we love you. Help us tonight. May the will of God be done. Thank you for what you've done in our lives. Help us to be faithful in living a life that's pleasing to you. Touch us, I pray. Bless us on the Lord's Day, on Sunday. Help us to bring somebody with us in Jesus' name. Amen. God bless you. Love you. Have a great night, folks. If you need us, call us.